Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Plus the first three batters tonight. Cam puts it in play. That's going to be a base hit into right field. Jake Byers will score easily. The Astros lead 1-0. Cam with RBI number 34 on the season.
He's hitting 285. Rookie of the year, Cam Smith. He's in a back and forth with Jacob Wilson. I imagine it's not really much of a back and forth. I mean, Jacob Wilson's going to be the starter at shortstop in the American League because he got more votes than Jeremy Peña, as did Bobby Witt. But Cam Smith is making a very compelling case. He had a three-hit performance last night. He keeps on making stuff happen out there. So shout out to Cam Smith, and shout out to the Astros. They've won 8 of 9. And we actually have some good news on the Astros front, and we shared it with you in the second segment of this show. This is courtesy of the Astros. Yordan Alvarez update. Yordan Alvarez and the Astros received encouraging news from a hand specialist that examined his sore right hand Wednesday. As part of the examination, additional imaging was done on his right hand. It revealed that the main cause of his current pain is due to inflammation. The specialist also indicated at this point in his recovery process, the small fracture that had been sustained is now a non-factor in the discomfort that Alvarez is currently experiencing. He got 2 injections in his hand Wednesday. He'll refrain from any activity involving his hand in the upcoming days. Any activity. We all know what that means. No video games. This was not the first time that Alvarez had received injections in his hand while on the injured list. Look, this is great news if it's true. And we're hearing this not from the Astros medical staff, but from a hand specialist who I believe is not part of the Astros medical staff. So this is great. Let's hear what Dana Brown had to say about it yesterday. It's time for another episode. Are you down with Dana Brown? Are you down with Dana B?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring 2 new players.
I guess we'll see.
Indeed, it is. So here's what Dana Brown had to say yesterday about Yordan Alvarez. Dana Brown on Yordan pre-setback. He looked good. He was hitting rockets. We were very optimistic, so much that we got him down to Florida. Tuesday morning, he felt some pain, tough to deal with, because we need him back in our lineup. This was before Alvarez saw the specialist. More from Dana on Yordan before he saw the specialist. Felt really good. He was close to 100%. These things can take time. He felt good enough to swing a bat. He felt well. Gave him some swings here in Houston. Sent him to Florida. That was the goal. I want to believe this update from the hand specialist who says it's just inflammation, and I want to believe Dana Brown's optimism. It's tough to believe it, I suppose, since I'm going into the birthday, into America's birthday weekend, number 249. All I can really do at this moment in time is choose to be optimistic. We'll get back to being negative on Monday. So you know what? I'm going to take Dana Brown's word for a change. Said Dana on Yordan's specialist visit, he's seen 3 specialists. He's getting the best of care. You've got to figure out what the problem is. Looking forward to see what the diagnosis is going to be. And they're saying inflammation, which means that Yordan is probably at some point this year going to have to get his pain tolerance up. Said Dana yesterday about Yordan, and this is before we heard what we heard from the hand specialist. Dana maintains it was soreness in the hand. He wants to get back, Jordan. Combination of soreness and not wanting to push him to the point of jeopardizing not having him for the season. Soreness means they're going to pull him back to ensure complete health. Dana's not concerned at all that Jordan would miss the rest of the season because how he feels, and we've seen the imaging. Sometimes the opinion of another doctor can get you over the hump. Huh. This is very different messaging from Tuesday to Wednesday. Because Tuesday we heard Dana Brown before the Astros-Rockies game talking about it. And honestly, it sounded like the end of the world. And then yesterday on the Astros flagship, he's making it sound better. Really hard to take anyone's words at face value. I want to. Believe me, I really, really do. But it is good to see that he got some encouraging news on that front. So how's Jeremy Pena doing? Are you down with Dana Brown? Are you down with Dana B? Dana believes Jeremy Pena is already starting to feel better. He's with the club. He might start some baseball activities in the coming days with hitting the last step. I feel very optimistic this won't be too long. All right, man, it's a fractured rib. I do not share your optimism on that front. I'm trying to share that optimism on that front because it's America's 249th birthday. But you're making it tough. More from Dana Brown. Being on the trip, Jeremy Pena, shows the Astros' confidence in Pena not being out so long. So there you go. That is, are you down with Dana Brown? You down with Dana B? It would have been nice if they asked about Bryce Matthews, who did not get called up. Shea Whitcomb got called up instead of Bryce Matthews. And he had a home run, his first ever career home run last night against the Rockies. Maybe that's a byproduct of Coors Field and the Rockies being ass. But whatever the case, I want to see Bryce Matthews up at some point if Pena's out for a long period of time. I say that because now all of a sudden Bryce Matthews is the 98th ranked prospect among baseball's top 100. Maybe he deserves a shot. Just saying. Just saying. Man, it is beautiful looking out at the Gulf of America. This is a great view. I really could get lost here. We're hanging out at Landry's Seafood House in Galveston right off of the seawall. It is an Ask Alon Anything Thursday. You can ask any question. I'll work it into the show. It's 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's also how you text. From the 409, Paul, would you consider Team America's America song an iconic American classic? Yes, I don't even care if they're making fun of America a little bit along the way, because it doesn't sound that way unless you listen very closely to the lyrics. We actually will play a version of it. It's very funny. There's a super censored version of that song online, and we've played it before, and I'm always a little bit paranoid for Sean Mapes behind the glass back at Mission Control that maybe a cuss will slip through all the censoring that takes place. But there is actually a family-friendly version of that song online. It's just a lot of bleeps. On YouTube, Michael Carrera says, Paul, I need you to get that new 4th of July Astros on field hat with the rope on it. No, hard pass. I think a lot of baseball hats are scams. I mean, the El Tiempo hat that I bought, I mean, that was $60. I love it, but it's because I love El Tiempo so much. Doesn't really match with that many things. Like this Patriots hat I'm wearing right now, old school Patriots throwback with the Minuteman hat snapping the football. It matches my American flag Hawaiian shirt. That's the main reason I'm wearing it right now. And also, there's nothing more American than New England Patriots, who are the real America's team. Everyone says Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Well, then, damn, we've been losing for 30 years. My God. We may as well have lost the Gulf War if the Cowboys are America's team. Jesus. Anyway, what else do we have here? On an Ask Alon Anything Thursday. Someone made a great point here, and I know people are going to be purchasing fireworks, maybe a Top Dog fireworks in their 14 area locations. Someone texted in. He read that someone doesn't know it, but they won't have all 10 fingers on Saturday. Wrong answers only. What Houston athlete is most likely to have less than 10 fingers come Saturday?
Any Houston Astro?
That's
name
right, Sean. Any Houston Astro who's seen a hand specialist, I don't know what they're doing. You know, I don't know what the Astros medical staff is doing. Do you think that they like play with fireworks while they're looking at these guys?
They'll be like, no, it'd be a funny prank.
we told him to close his eyes and just hand him a lit firework. That'd be cool, right?
Just blow off his hand, yeah. Give him a little G.
Sorry, down with OPP? Mr. Crane, I'm sorry, but...
We blew up Jeremy Page's hand. We were just messing around.
Yeah, it was a joke. And please don't fire me.
You down with Dana B? You down with OPP? You got no fingers like JPP? There we at. Texter texted in. I heard Jeremy Pena's rib injury is actually a back injury now. It's possibly traveled down his legs, but that could be the next diagnosis. I know. Goodness gracious. So it's an Ascalon Anything Thursday. Astros have one more game against these bum-ass Colorado Rockies before they play the L.A. Dodgers in a Judgment Day kind of series to wrap up the first half. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. Come out and hang out with us down in Galveston. If you're coming down to Galveston for the 4th of July weekend, get here early. You got a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. The registration is at the promo table to the right as you stop in here at Landry's Seafood House. It's an Ascalon Anything Thursday as part of the ESPN Summer Circuit here on ESPN Houston, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app, which is available on iPhone, not yet available on Android, but will be tomorrow. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Up your world like the 4th of July.
Hey, Uncle Sam puts his name around the top of his wrist, and the statue ordered when he started shaking us, and the eagle will fly, man, it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it feels like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
About bombs, guys.
Home brought you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
It is an Ascalon Anything Thursday. You hear the chopper noise in the background? This must be the Toby Keith music video. R.I.P. to Toby Keith. This song is such a banger. Oh, man. But if you want to jump in on an Ascalon Anything Thursday, 713-780-3776 to call. That's how you text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. It seems we have some good news on the Astros front. They've won 8 of 9. 4-game separation between them and the New York Yankees. And now the Toronto Blue Jays, who have tied things up. Still a 7-game lead in the American League West. Jordan Alvarez, after seeing a hand specialist, is apparently just dealing with hand inflammation. It's not a setback as far as more of a fracture. It's not a hamate bone injury like Josh Reddick had theorized. That's at least what they're telling us. And since it is a holiday weekend, I am choosing to believe that. Do I actually believe them? Give me a little truth serum. It would not take much. It would not take much to convince me that, yeah, they're lying through their teeth again. But I want to believe that. And also, Dana Brown yesterday on the Astros flagship said when it comes to Jeremy Pena that he's not that far away from baseball activities. Okay, man, he's a broken rib, but I don't really know what to say anymore. Yesterday and the day before, we talked so much about how little we trust the Astros medical staff. I still trust the Astros medical staff. Zilch. Not at all. I'm trying to think who I trust less than the Astros medical staff. Like, who do I trust less? Littlefinger from Game of Thrones? Darth Vader's deal with Lando Calrissian in Cloud City? I mean, pray I don't alter it further. So there you go. It's an Ask a Lot Anything Thursday. If you want to weigh in on the Astros and their medical staff, and if you actually believe this Yordan Alvarez news, have at it. On an Ask a Lot Anything Thursday, this is more of a comment, but listen, we read everything here, even if it's funny. This did make me chuckle. Paul, make sure your girlfriend shaves her balls before going to the pool tomorrow. Hey, she doesn't have clackers, okay? Come on. She's a lady. She's a lady. I know that there's a lot of things that could be considered a lady in 2025, but she is an actual lady. Can confirm, okay? Okay. What's more American, Paul? The 1911 or the AR-15? Okay, so I'm a little bit of a nerd, but from what I remember, the 1911's a Colt 45, right? And an AR-15, I don't know. I feel like an AR-15 is, we hear it all the time, but did AR-15s really get used in war in the same way as like an M16? Is an A-15 an A and an M16? I don't even know. Truly, I don't know. So what's more American? Huh. The Colt 45 is, I think, the most American gun that there is. Not to be confused with a Magnum. Is that what a 1911 is? Again, I sound like an idiot talking about guns. I don't know that much about guns. I think my girlfriend knows more about guns than me. Significantly more. That was in her dating profile. There was a picture of her holding possibly an AR-15. But I think, truly, and this is as someone who's a nerd when it comes to history, I think that the Colt 45 is the most American gun that there's ever been. Because without the Colt 45, we would not, as Americans, have been able to settle the West. The big problem, and I read this book, it's called Empire of the Summer Moon, was that the Comanche Indians were this tribe of ruthless, unbelievably gifted horse riders who basically controlled the entirety of the Great Plains once you go west of San Antonio. Like, you couldn't go west of San Antonio because we were working with, like, muskets, and we were working with really slow-moving everything, cannons and gunfire. Like, we were built for warfare against European countries. We were not built for warfare on the West. And once we started pushing west, I believe the Texas Rangers were the first people to start using the Colt 45, and it was a revolver, so it was easy to ride a horse with and actually fire at people. And on top of that, you know, you could fire six shots. That was game over. But before that, like the Comanche Indians, you know, you talk about like horse riding war people. I mean, on par with the Huns of the late Roman Empire, and on par with the Mongols and the Turks? Not the Ottoman Turks. It was like the Turkestanistan or something like that. Sorry, I'm all over the place, but there's your history lesson for the day, everybody. The 1911s do look sweet. Which is that a Desert Eagle? That's what I confused. The Colt 45 with the Desert Eagle. I don't know. Someone let me know. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Kugblaze says bazooka. Bazookas were pretty cool. Taking out Panzer tanks and stuff. From the 281, the Colt 911 was considered the name the Peacemaker. And the M16 has AR-15 stamped on it, says another texter. All right, learning new things every single day. Appreciate you guys for helping me out here. I do 100% know that I am limited in my knowledge when it comes to that stuff. 1911 has a clip, Paul. The Colt 45 is a revolver. Thank you. Thank you very much. From the 409, a texter says on an Ask Lon Anything Thursday, this is a comment. I would let Michael Jackson babysit my kids before using the Astros medical staff. Well, you wouldn't want to do that because Michael Jackson's dead. Also, there's the stories. So I get it. From the 832, a texter asks, are you going to the USA versus Mexico Gold Cup final? It was today that I found out that game was at NRG Stadium. I found that out as I was getting ready for the show because we do our weekend homework every Friday, generally at 2:15. So we'll be doing it Thursday at 2:15. So today, in about an hour or so. No, I will not be going. Honestly, anyone going, be careful for a lot of different reasons. Be careful. I feel like these USA versus Mexico games lend themselves to fights. So just be careful out there, all right? Be careful. Check your six. Watch your back. Few drinks. National pride on the line. The current state of our country and some heightened tensions between certain communities. Watch your six. This is not the kind of game I would bring my family to. I'll just say that. That's serious advice. No sarcasm there. It's an Ask Alon Anything Thursday. Astros have won 8 of 9. Jordan Alvarez seems to be okay, at least per the Astros' hand specialist, non-Astros' hand specialist, who checked him out. On an Ask Alon Anything Thursday, a question. This is sports-related. Can the Astros please not make a trade this year and keep the farm intact? I am with you here. I think as guys get healthy, I think they have to be looking at trading some of the excess parts. Because, I mean, think about everyone who's banged up right now, just from a pitching perspective. Christian Javier, who I will not get rid of. I think Javier's stuff is electric when he's healthy. Luis Garcia has pretty good stuff. I think Luis Garcia would be an interesting trade candidate. Obviously, you have some questions about, well, what do you do when Framber Valdez walks? Fair point. Because he will be gone after this offseason. You want to have somebody to step in. But he is definitely, I think, Luis Garcia is someone intriguing to think of. So I think, like, of all the guys that you have right now, he might get you the most haul. And, you know, coming off of a Tommy John surgery that had a little bit of a setback. You know, how do you feel about that long term? Chaz McCormick, when everyone gets healthy, I think is also somebody that you'll see traded. I don't think you're going to get that much for him. But I do think that if you're Dana Brown, yes, you are looking to improve your team by playoff time. But I also think you're looking to restock a little bit. And with the way that the Astros have overachieved this season, you actually might be able to do that. But a lot of guys have to come back from injury. I'd like to keep Jacob Melton around. Some of the other younger players. Like I like Zach DiCenzo a lot. Obviously, he's dealing with an injury too. There's just so many banged up players at this moment in time. So I am with this texter. I would like the Astros to not make a trade as far as getting rid of some prospects. 713-780-3776 to call the text on an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday. Ooh, someone texted this in because I said top American sports moments, and I was like, every single Patriots victory. This texter says, Jesse James caught the ball, Paul. You know it. I know it. Go Steelers. So this Steelers fan is remembering a regular season game that the Patriots won. It was a wild ending where Jesse James, yes, tight end for the Steelers, did catch a touchdown pass. It probably would have given the Steelers a win. I think the next play that Roethlisberger threw a Malcolm Butler-esque interception, I honestly forget off the top of my head because there's so many Patriots victories over the Steelers that they kind of all blend together. And sorry to be an a-hole about this. If you want to feel a little bit better as a Steelers fan, the Steelers are the first team that ever made me cry. This was a December game in 1997. The Patriots were winning by 7 with about, let's say, 2 minutes to go. And Drew Bledsoe threw an interception to a defensive lineman who almost returned it for a touchdown. Steelers would end up scoring a touchdown. They sent it to overtime, and they won. It was the first game I went to that the Patriots lost that I saw in person. And then the Patriots lost to the Steelers 7-6 in the divisional round of the playoffs at Three Rivers Stadium earlier that year. The Steelers would lose to the Broncos in the AFC Championship game before, what was it, Super Bowl 32, which was that awesome game where Elway did the helicopter for the touchdown or the first down against the Packers. So you have that at least, but outside of that, like, the Patriots own that ass. Like, the Steelers are the Patriots' bitch. They always have been. Always will be. Think about all those times that the Steelers lost big spots to the Patriots. Like, outside of Halloween in 2004, where, by the way, I also cried. That was a little bit late in the game to be crying. I was a sophomore in high school. I didn't care. I was such a psycho about the Patriots. It was kind of, I needed help. Probably for the best that left Massachusetts. I might still be crying about the Patriots losing games. Yeah. It's an Ask Alon Anything Thursday, though. There you go, Steelers fan. I hope that you enjoyed that call back down memory lane. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. All right. Up next, we are 63 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season between the Eagles and AJ's Cowboys. We continue that countdown. Who's the best number 63 in NFL history? In Texans history. And I'm going to give you a bunch of fluff. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
10-minute drill.
63 days away from the start of the NFL season. Best 63 in NFL history. Some would say Gene Upshaw, there's some iconic photos of that guy playing for the Raiders back in the day. He's got the cowboy collar. He's got the helmet with the nose guard as well. He's from Robstown, Texas. That's where he was born at the very least. It's a Corpus Christi suburb. He went to Texas A&M Kingsville. At the time, it was called Texas A&I. He played for the Raiders from 1967 through 1981. Two-time Super Bowl champion, three-time first-team All-Pro, five-time second-team All-Pro. He also was one of the first key members of the NFL Players Association in the late 70s and the early 80s. He's a very important player as far as NFL history goes and as far as what he did afterwards. Mike Munchak as well. You might remember Mike Munchak from his time as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But Mike Munchak is a Hall of Famer, which is kind of surprising, right? But he played for the Oilers his whole career, 1982 to 1983. A four-time first-team All-Pro, five-time second-team All-Pro, nine-time Pro Bowler. I mean, hell of a career. He was elected into the Hall of Fame in 2001. And also, and this is my favorite, and I'm partial to this because of my time living in Tampa Bay, Florida, but there's this great place called Leroy Selman's. It's like a steakhouse. Leroy Selman. He played for the Bucks, and the Bucks were Pitts. From 76 to 84, hell of a player. He passed away when he was just 56 years old, which is really sad. He had 78 and a half sacks over the course of his career, known as the Gentle Giant, as nicknames go. Played at Tennessee. Wait, check that. Is that Tennessee or Texas? Did he play at Texas? It says Oklahoma. Okay, I don't know why. For whatever reason, it's like he played at UT. No, went to Oklahoma. That's what I thought. But Leroy Selman's. For those who don't know, if you've never been to the Tampa Bay area, which I went to high school in, it's a local sports bar chain. Okay, it's not a steak place. I went to it once. I was a child. It was a good spot. So there you go. Best Texans number 63, Kendall Lamb, who you might have seen recently in the news getting a quote falsely attributed to him and then trying to do damage control as that went. That sucks for him. Also, Drew Hodgson. I bring up Drew Hodgson, who was a Texans offensive lineman, because one time I was at the LA Fitness Signature in Greenway Plaza, and I was playing a pickup basketball game. And there was this guy, and he was stocky. Didn't look like he had played in the offensive line, because he's not the tallest guy. But he was definitely built. It seemed like, okay, after the fact, I was like, okay, well, he's shed a lot of weight and turned that all into, like, lean muscle mass afterwards. But we're playing basketball, and I kept on boxing this guy out. And eventually, I think he was getting annoyed with me, so he, like, grabbed the back. He was, like, holding the back of my neck, and he was pushing me forward. And eventually, I got pissed off, and I got in his face. If I had known he was an NFL player, I definitely wouldn't have. But I got in his face and I said, "Don't touch me there, bro. That's my livelihood," which is definitely the gayest thing I've ever said in my life. And it was so lame. And he laughed and he smirked and he kept on doing it. And then after the game, we talked it out. It was okay. And then I found out, like, a couple of months later, like, he was buddies with Seth Payne. And I had no idea that was him. And I guess Drew and Seth had that story. Drew, wherever you are, cheers, bro. Hope you're doing well. That's a very amusing moment for me. Glad you didn't kick my ass. What do we got going on? All right, it's the 10-minute drill. Someone texted in, "Get a job in Boston. We don't care about asshole sports, bro." Talking about the Pats. Listen, since I know the Patriots, it is me who can help guide the Houston Texans to a Super Bowl. More than anyone in this city. Including people who played the game. I've seen what it takes to win six Super Bowls, to make it to nine. I understand what it takes. Do you? So be thankful that a masshole has come and graced you with his presence to tell you about football. A masshole telling a Texan about football, like, as it should be. I'm kidding. We got some fluff. DeAndre Hopkins thinks that he is the piece that's been missing for the Baltimore Ravens. And guess what? Now he's on the Ravens. And you know what? Marlon Humphrey, he thinks DeAndre Hopkins fits the Ravens mold. And you know what else? Rashad Bateman says that the receivers room is benefiting from the presence of DeAndre Hopkins. There's a lot of DeAndre Hopkins hype. A lot of DeAndre Hopkins hype as we get closer and closer to the start of the season for the Ravens. I know people don't want me to go masshole, but there's a lot of Patriots hype too. NFL MVP Josh Allen, he said that Patriots quarterback Drake May, quote, exemplifies football. Hell yeah. I think Drake is super talented. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league. Robert Kraft promised this year will be fun. Again, this is fluff. Sure, man. The Patriots are going to have a violent defense. And third-round rookie pick Kyle Williams says he views all catchable passes like a bag of money. All right, dude, cool. Speaking of violence, George Kittle of the San Francisco 49ers said that Robert Saleh, who's back, he's their defensive coordinator again, that his return means violence is coming. Hell yeah. Dolphins tackle Teron Armstead. He thinks that Tua and Drew Brees share elite traits. Wow. Cardinals tight end Trey McBride. He thinks that he and Kyler Murray could have the same kind of connection as Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Wow. Titans wide receiver Treylon Burks, a bust, says he feels amazing in his ACL recovery. Russell Wilson, Giants quarterback, he says this offseason has been a joy. Jackson Dart, Giants first-round rookie, he said he's made tremendous strides this offseason. Marcus Mariota, Commanders backup quarterback, hear this, see this, he said it's hard to pass up rejoining a team that you're wanting, because he's been on like five teams in 5 years. Maybe he's 4-4. So there you go. That's Fluff Watch. Meanwhile, I forgot how annoying Sauce Gardner is. You know, we talk about how annoying Aaron Rodgers is, and he is. I find Aaron Rodgers annoying. It has nothing to do with his politics. It's just like, ooh, I don't want any attention. And then you're constantly going on like the Pat McAfee show and Joe Rogan. Okay, man, like pick a lane, okay? Like, I agree with some of the things that he says. It still like comes off as a douche generally 80% of the time that he speaks. But I think Sauce Gardner is just as obnoxious. Jets cornerback, who we were all told is better than Derek Stingley, like, immediately. And now it turns out everyone seems to think that Derek Stingley is better than Sauce Gardner, that Stingley's been healthy for a while. So Sauce Gardner, one, he's looking forward to the challenge of Aaron Rodgers in week one. And he's thinking, like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers might know my tendencies. But guess what? I know his. Oh, my God. Also, he was asked if he saw Derek Stingley's contract. He said, I'm aware. I'm making a motion that's lewd. Also, said Sauce Gardner, I put on some weight and I put on some muscle and I feel more explosive than ever. All right, cool. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is working out with his wide receivers in Malibu. So they actually did join him in Malibu, even though Demaurice Smith has wrote a book, former NFL player, association, was he the head? I forget the official title. And he said that Aaron Rodgers was isolated and dismissive. That's not a shocker. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call and text in on an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday. From the 832, love y'all show. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Same to everybody. Be smart driving. There will be more cops on the road. Take an Uber when you can. Be careful with the fireworks. Don't wake up on Saturday with nine fingers or wake up in a hospital. But we're going to be here all afternoon. Killer Bees after me as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit. We're at Landry's Seafood House in Galveston. We have a beautiful view of the Gulf of America as we get ready to celebrate America's 249th birthday. Doesn't it feel like it would be older than that? But we're only 249 years old, you know? Still got a ways to go to get as old as Rome got.
Yeah, when Rome really hit the fan.
You can ask any question at 713-780-3776. We'll be continuing to play America songs. Yordan seems to be setback-free, relatively. The setback that he had, you'll hear the latest on that. It's actually not as bad as it originally sounded when we reported that. And on top of that, we're going to workshop some new Houston Rockets segments. It is the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Thursday. Stick around.
America, America.
the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Landry Seafood House in Galveston as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's the dream that we all share. It's the hope for tomorrow.
Yeah. McDonald's.
Yeah.
Walmart.
The Gap.
The Gap.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah.
NFL.
NFL. Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. Internet.
The Internet.
Slavery.
Not saying that.
Yeah.
Leap.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great movie this was. Happy America birthday, everybody. It is the 3rd of July. We are hanging out at Landry's Seafood House right on the Gulf of America. That's right. So you want to come out and hang out with us, you can. Killer Bees are going to be up next, and you also have a chance, if you're down in the Galveston area, to register for a chance to win a – you don't have a chance to register. You can register for a chance to win a pair of brand-new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. It's an Ask Alone Anything Thursday. We'll get back to some of your questions in just a moment. An update on Yordan Alvarez. It's fantastic, if you are to believe the Astros when they give you an injury update. Do you do that? I will leave that up to you. Yordan Alvarez and the Astros received some encouraging news from a hand specialist that examined Alvarez's sore right hand on Wednesday. As part of the examination, additional imaging was done on his right hand, which revealed that the main cause of his current pain is due to inflammation. The specialist also indicated that at this point in the recovery process, the small fracture that had been sustained is now a non-factor in the discomfort that Alvarez is currently experiencing. As a result of the examination, Alvarez received 2 injections in his hand Wednesday. He's gotten injections before, by the way. I think Dana Brown said on Wednesday that this has happened 3 times or so. He will refrain from any activity involving his hand in the upcoming days. This was not the first time that Alvarez had received injections in his hand while on the injured list. The specialist reviewed the multiple sets of imaging that had been done previously on Alvarez's hand, concurred the findings of the Astros medical staff and other hand specialists. They determined the imaging done on Wednesday revealed his hand had made noticeable progress when compared to imaging done over the past several weeks. So the big tricky thing here is, and it's why we reacted as strongly as we did on Tuesday and Wednesday when we got the updates on Yordan Alvarez, is that from Tuesday we went from hearing, yeah, there's a setback, and then just thinking about all the past Astros setbacks of the last couple of years, to Wednesday, Dana Brown being more optimistic, to this, which is very optimistic. And we're always so all over the place. It's just hard to trust the Astros when they give us good news, even though you'll want to trust them when they give good news. So there's even a chance here that because of the miscommunication between Dana Brown and the medical staff, that the medical staff actually might have done a good job here, which is crazy to think of. But we just cannot actually conceive that as a possibility, you know? So that's where we're at when it comes to Yordan. Also, as far as Jeremy Pena is concerned, Dana Brown seemed rather optimistic about that when asked about Pena yesterday. Man, the Gulf of Mexico is awesome. / Gulf of America. I just keep on, like, daydreaming, and I'm like, Paul, you're doing a radio show. You haven't even had anything to drink yet, but this is getting me drunk, this view. Big beach guy. Paul, you're so pasty. Yeah, I know. SPF 100. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. From the 281, Paul, what does the water look like? Well, from here, it doesn't look that brown. Now, I mean, I am across the street, and I don't know if the area that's directly in front that seems to have been roped off is for riptides or for poop water. But it does seem like there are people in the water to the right and to the left of this area that's cut off. So I'm guessing that's some sort of riptide or something like that. Anyway, now you know. I think it's time for us to workshop some new Houston Rockets segments, because I think over the next couple of months before the Rockets tip things back off for the 2025-2026 campaign, that we're going to get a lot of people that are putting the Rockets on a pedestal. And you know what? Deservedly so, with the moves that they've made this offseason. I think they're built for the long haul. On top of that, they got a guy in Kevin Durant who we know is such a great shooter, creator. So what kind of titles do you think that we do? Here's a quick update before we get into a couple of cool things Rockets related. The Durant trade is apparently about to turn into the biggest trade of all time. Nothing's changing for the Rockets, but it's going to turn into some sort of a seven-team trade as opposed to just a trade between the Suns and the Rockets. I'm assuming that this is going to clear up some cap things for all teams involved. Some other teams probably saw an opportunity to like dump some money, and other teams probably saw, hey, we can add some money, maybe we make a trade, or we can match money here. And Cam Whitmore might be a part of a signing trade for Dorian Finney-Smith, which I know is pissing off a lot of hipster Rockets fans. Look, there's no denying that Cam Whitmore has talent. I just don't think it's going to happen here, and I've accepted that. There's too many players ahead of him on the Rockets roster, and he just doesn't seem to get along with Ime Udoka. You know? Like, there's a stubbornness between the two. And I think I saw Sarge post this earlier where he was saying, like, hey, like, Udoka likes that Whitmore has that stubbornness and wants him to keep it because Udoka had it when he was a player. Okay, fine. But there's a certain point where I think it's detrimental to the entirety of the team. And this is a team game. I know we don't really look at it that much, but that's what I like about this Rockets team, that it's a team. Adding Durant does not disrupt that team dynamic, you know? I really don't think it does. But anyway, I think we're going to do a recurring segment where we play audio of people glazing the Houston Rockets. I know we have a bunch saved up. What should we call it? 713-780-3776 to call the text. Sean Mapes is back at Fisher Control. If you've got any thoughts, Sean, in a moment, please let us know. But in the meantime, Kevin Durant was on a podcast with LeBron James and Steve Nash. I actually listened to the entirety of it. And while LeBron can sometimes get a tad annoying when he's talking about things off the court or when he's talking about himself, I do think the guy knows ball. And I really loved hearing him say this about Kevin Durant.
I don't want to speak like you're not here, but you're so great. I like to do it sometimes.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
it. He hasn't shot under 50% since like 2012. And in a league that doesn't talk about efficiency enough, because I'm one of those efficiency guys. Like, I hate going out there just chucking up shots or, you know, looking at the box score and I was maybe 8 for 23 or 9 for 25 or 6 for 18. Like, you're going to have those nights for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but for the majority of the season, like, being efficient, you know, is something I've always prided myself on. And this guy is, when it comes to three-level score, three-pointers, mid-range, below the Gary Payton area, below the Malone area, and finishing. It's we haven't had a score as equipped as KD in our league.
Mm-hmm. Ever. I appreciate that.
Ever.
LeBron's right. I am with him. There's never been a scorer like this. And I loved hearing what LeBron said in the middle of that. This is one of the reasons I didn't like James Harden. And there's a lot of players that are like James Harden that are volume scorers. And Harden would certainly have his nights from time to time where he was actually pretty efficient. But he also had some nights where he was like 1-18, you know? And you're like, ew. Hey, listen, I mean, for all my faults with Harden, like, I didn't like the flopping, I didn't like the lack of defense. I will give the guy credit for always, with the Rockets at least, playing through an 82-game season where he was clearly partying a lot. That ain't easy. even if you're not playing every single night, that ain't easy. But I hated how inefficient he was at times. Durant's efficient. LeBron's pretty efficient, too. I am with those two guys. Like, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, his Game 7 performance, like, ew. Look at the stat line. Like, the assists were nice. Ew. I hate that. Durant's not that. He's never been that. Like, he's still a top-of-the-line player. It's bizarre to me that there is any pushback to the Rockets bringing him in. It really makes sense that they didn't give up much to do it, other than Jalen Green, who, by the way, is one of those inefficient players, at least at this moment in time. Like, some nights he's great. I think that's why he'll be a great sixth man somewhere, someday. But I liked hearing LeBron say that about Kevin Durant. Anyway, some questions here on an Ask Alon Anything Thursday. I did ask for you. What segments should we do as far as the Rockets? Like, what should we call a glazing the Rockets segment? And also, what should we call a segment where we look at Kevin Durant going up against internet trolls? Because there was somebody who he went back and forth with on the internet who was like, yeah, your mom's probably sad that you're, like, not married and that you don't have kids. Which, okay, maybe, but, like, that's not a priority for everybody that's our age these days. And I'm on the fence about having kids. I would love to have kids someday, but it's a lot of money, and I don't know that I would be able to afford the same kind of life for my kids that my parents afforded for me. I was privileged growing up. So someone was dissing Durant on that front, and then this person on Rockets Twitter, like, stood up, like, the white knight for Kevin Durant, and Durant, like, dumped on him. He's like, you don't need to stand up for me, dork. I'm going to troll till I die on the internet. And I was like, hell yeah. So we might have to have a segment where we talk about Durant going up against the mean internet streets as well. Working titles for both that and Rockets Glazage. David Dubel commented on YouTube, you should do a segment where you have to guess if a given social media account is a Kevin Durant burner or not. Listen, man, Durant, he doesn't do the burners anymore. He's out in the open. He's not behind the scenes. Kevin Durant is out in the open. It's no longer hidden. So I don't know if we can do that, but I definitely want to do something where we take a look at what Durant's saying to just online a-holes, Sean.
Who's paying the troll toll with Kevin Durant?
Ooh, that's great. The troll toll. The troll toll. That is fantastic, Sean. Golf claps.
Thank you.
Golf claps. Happy weekend.
All right. You know what? I'm just going to leave now.
Take the rest of the show off.
Yeah.
All right. I'm writing that down. Kevin Durant's troll
toll.
I like that.
Got to pay the troll toll.
Got to pay the troll toll. All right. Well, it's an Ask On Anything Thursday. We are live at Landry's Seafood House on the seawall here in Galveston. Getting a little cloudier on the Gulf of America, but it's a beautiful day. Come out, hang out with us. I'm going to crack something open in just a second. But if you want to ask a question before we get out of here, you can. Things just keep getting worse for the Astros' enemies. You'll find that out on the other side. It is the Paul Gallant Show, live from Landry's Seafood House in Galveston as part of the ESPN Houston Summer Circuit. Come out, register for a chance to win a pair of brand new e-bikes, a pair. It's a $4,000 value from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. Come out, hang out with us. Stick around.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.